Hello, our friends, Evolutionary Energy Arts family.
Hello there. Welcome back.
Hope everybody is doing well, and hopefully y'all are subscribed to all three channels, Evolutionary, Hearts, Home. We were basically doing a new one up on EE Arts last night. Watch at your own risk. Yeah, absolutely, because, you know, this was demonetized, and there's no violence in there. Not really. No. It's just the reality of what goes on behind the scenes that they still need to keep hidden for a little while longer. It won't be too long. It really won't. It can't be too long.
No, you know, but they're going to do what they can when they can.
Yeah, the great illusion is being revealed for what it is. Here we have a 7.7 earthquake and 31 aftershocks. As you see, this is in the Loyalty Island group, which is basically to the south southwest of Fiji, off the coast of Australia. Very, very active area. Absolutely. It's 37.7 kilometers deep. There was a small 3-foot tsunami produced, but, you know, no deaths, thankfully, no loss of life. Would certainly be scary to be out on a small island and feel something like that.
It really would be. I mean, you feel something like that, you know, the earth shakes. And especially, what if you're someone who's not hooked up to any kind of media? So just every now and then you feel the earth shake. I wonder how people cope with that. It's got to be kind of weird.
Yeah, 7.7 is huge. So that's a lot of shaking going on. And over here, we actually had a very small earthquake that rattled Westchester County in New Jersey in the middle of the night. And it was noteworthy enough that this 2.2 in the lower Hudson Valley area, and I'll show you over here, it's a curiosity, you know, because you don't get a lot over in this area. We do see them from time to time. Again, you know, I grew up in Connecticut in Fairfield County, so, you know, anything that happened in New York was something that we noted. And here it is, 2.2, 2 kilometers south of Hastings on the Hudson in New York, 10.3 kilometers deep. Interesting one for sure. We have Wisconsin issuing air quality warning amid the raging wildfires going on in Canada. As the wildfires we were talking about the other day, they're just getting larger. British Columbia, Alberta, Saskatchewan, all gripped by these catastrophic forest fires. You know, again, what is the cause? Could be purposeful, could be unintentional, maybe volcanic, maybe some of each. Well, over here we see Mount Popo did erupt, and that does happen fairly regularly. But this was a big enough eruption to actually cancel school sessions and evacuations again. So, you know, lots of volcanic activity. Definitely feel that there'll be a significant uptick in volcanic activity in 2024. I think that's a safe bet.
Yeah, I feel that too. You know, and notice our sun and earth are very much connected. And when the sun sneezes, you can see a lot of these things go on because it's an actual conversation. That sun, whenever it does do its little sneezes, that's a really good time for upgrades for sure.
Yes. And, you know, just checking in, you could see there have been a lot of sneezes. They've been small sneezes for the most part, as you see. But yeah, quite a few M-class flares coming on out. All this affects us in many different ways, and certainly it absolutely is affecting our consciousness. When we look at the KP, they're showing dead quiet. Now, that could affect you too. So, again, everybody is unique, but at least 9 M-class flares during the past 24 hours, all of which were centered around the new area, AR-3311. That's an interesting number, 3311. Two master numbers there. As of this update, the largest event was an M5.3. Now, not too long ago, just a few days ago, we had an M9.6 that was just about an X-class. So, yeah, it feels like things are building. And by the way, here's some pictures of one of those fires up in Canada. Boy, Canada, such a beautiful country, so few people, so much land. You know, very, very hardy, not the easiest to survive in if you're not used to the very cold temperatures and living off the land. You know, some of our family members have said, what do you think about Canada? And if you could be by yourself and self-sufficient, yeah, you're golden. There's, you know, again, with non-interference from the government, the Canadian government's been very, very interfering in the lives of its citizens, and really, it feels like there's no freedom in Canada. It feels like there's no freedom in Australia or New Zealand. And it certainly feels like there's very little freedom anywhere on the globe.
And it's getting, you know, a little bit more like that noose. You feel that noose around your neck and you can hear it make its little noises and get tighter and tighter and tighter. And we really have to free ourselves.
Now, I could hear in my mind, one of our subscribers out there, you know, they're probably living by themselves in a little cabin, totally self-sufficient off of maybe solar and, you know, battery powered grid of their own and doing their own rain catchment. And they're saying, what are you talking about? I'm totally free. Good for you. That's what everybody, you know, really should be trying to strive for if you want to stay free. Because again, they're just going to try one thing after another. Sometimes it'll be the lash, other times it's going to be dangling that sugary carrot in front of you to try to get you to, you know, become part of the Borg collective.
Well, you know, what's amazing though is we do have a couple of our family members who are doing exactly that. And we are just so proud of them, watching them make these baby steps day by day by day to their own, you know, to their own freedom. It's just so inspiring to watch them. I love it.
Yeah, one of our family members is in a, well, they purchased the land. There's nothing on the land. They're building a house on the land. They have farm animals. They're you know, compared to Cindy and I, they're young kids.
Yes.
But they have kids, and they are going to be given birth. Well, she will.
Yes.
Just to clarify, in this world,
I know, right?
She's going to be doing the birth giving.
Good.
Yeah. Any day. So, you know, very proud of them because they are living really off grid, and they haven't had, you know, consistent hot baths and things like that, you know, all the luxuries, but they're doing it because the writing has been on the wall, and they left uprooted, moved over 1,000 miles away and from where they were, maybe like 1,500 miles away, and they're doing it in a spot that they found that they could get 20 acres. And then we have family members over in Idaho that are not too far away from Cindy's brother, who could, you know, he could live off of the land himself, no problem. You know, end of the world comes and he won't miss a beat. He'll just be out there bagging grizzlies. Yeah, absolutely. But, you know, I think about our dear family members, Marshall and Sharon and Genevieve. Shannon and Genevieve, sorry about that. I haven't had my second cup of coffee. Well, maybe not my third yet. You know, what they have built out there is just fabulous. Just fabulous. An amazing, gorgeous homestead. And again, what, like 85% of their food they grow themselves.
Yes. Can I just brag on Shannon for a moment? And she is growing like 85% of her food. Now, she has been doing it for a few years. So yeah, I think four, she said, but at least a few. So that does help you because you got to get the soil the right way. You got to, you know, you just got to clean your system up. However you're doing it, you got to tweak it and fix things. But yeah, she's doing it. So if the grocery store is shut tomorrow, she would be able to do pretty good and not be too uncomfortable. So very proud of her. And then our other family member, Tori, well, they have a milk cow and she's just learning all there is to learn about, you know, milking a cow and getting the cream and making your butter and making whatever you want and child rearing. And it's just incredible to watch. And they're just moving into alignment all on their own. I love it.
Yeah. and another family member has gone back home. And, you know, between all the members of that family, there's like 100 acres of farm. So this is where they are, and they're doing it. You know, they're farming. And then we have our dear Miss Nicole, and she's on 100 acres, and she's doing it self-sufficiently. And, you know, it goes on and on. We know so many people that are all set for whatever happens, and they're just, you know, amazing examples. Two of them are ladies, you know, that are, let's just say, over 40, and they're on their own pretty much, and they're doing it on their own. It's amazing, really, what can be done. And Michelle, you know, we're really amazed with you too.
Absolutely. And, you know, the thing is, they're doing it on their own. And there's things in society that they're now lacking. They don't have access to. They don't have access to so many conveniences. But I think that's the hard part of things, is that you really have to choose and figure out what can you be without, and what do you have to be without, and be prepared to make those steps and say, okay, if I do this, then these are the things that I have to be self-sufficient in, because I might not have access to. So that's definitely a conversation you want to have with yourself and your family. And you know what, like Mike said, we have our family members that are doing it on their own, and it's just amazing to watch.
Absolutely. And if you are able, sorry guys, if you are able to do it where you can, you know, raise your kids the way you want to raise your kids, boy, in this day and age, that's wonderful. Yeah. Because, you know, I would not feel comfortable sending kids to any public school at this point in time. Mm. It's just, you know, obvious. It's, and then again, the system makes it so, you know, you're going to have to be running on that wheel, trying to keep up with everything, because, you know, energy costs and food costs. And now I have noticed, I mean, eggs went down 1/3 here. They were like around $10 for 18 organic A3, and they went down to 6. So, you know, that's good. But at the same time, the guides have said to us that we need to be as totally self-sufficient by the end of this year as possible, which we're working on, and we'll share that with you guys not too far off. But it's going to be that there might be plenty of food in the system. You might be able to walk into any grocery store and see plenty of food for quite a while, but you might not trust it. That's the bottom line. If you want to stay organic, you're going to have to be very careful with what we ingest. And so, again, get to know your local farmers, local ranchers, you know, and see what they have and see what they do. Ask them, you know, do you ouchie the cows? Do you ouchie the pigs? You know, what's going in the chicken feed? Things like that. Because again, there's so many people out there that are just as against what the science says as you guys and us, and they know, and so they're not going along with it because they get the bigger picture. Maybe some of it's instinctively in their subconscious, but you will find that there will be those sources locally if you go and search. Of course, it's tough in the middle of Manhattan, but then again, you know, as we've been saying, we wouldn't recommend being in the middle of Manhattan or D.C. or L.A. or any of the big metropolises in the times that are upon us at this point in time. So again, just like some of our family members have done, and, you know, they didn't really want to come and move in with family, but they have, in order to make it through these times and support each other. And, you know, sometimes it's like That story where you see, oh, farm girl goes from Kansas or Nebraska, goes to Hollywood in search of fame and fortune. Well, now a lot of people are moving back to Kansas and Nebraska.
Mm-hmm. Realizing it's a better thing. And when you see someone out there that is supporting a lifestyle that you want to achieve, definitely, you know, support them however you can. And this is a time to look around and see, well, who are those that are, you know, helping our food supply stay clean, and buy from them, you know, help them, support them. We got to kind of pull together.
Absolutely, pull together as much as possible. This is from Live Science, and again, you know, this is the control system speaking. The Yellowstone volcano super eruptions appear to involve multiple explosive events. If we ever paid attention and really looked at what they say, they are constantly telling us something like, well, this is what we're pretty sure happened, and then shortly thereafter, or maybe it takes a decade, well, that was wrong. This is what really we think happened all the time. And the last caldera forming eruption at Yellowstone was much more complex than previously thought, according to an annual report about activity at the supervolcano. Much more complex. The last super eruption, which occurred 631,000 years ago, they say, was not one huge explosion. Instead, new research suggests it was a series of eruptions or multiple vents spewing volcanic material in rapid succession. So according to their Yellowstone Volcanic Observatory 2022 annual report published May 4th, field work over the past year has provided new geological evidence that the formation of Yellowstone caldera was much more complex than previously thought. A caldera is a large crater that forms after the collapse of a volcano following an eruption. We were sitting in one in, was it New Mexico? I think it was. That was kind of a cool feeling. Kind of creepy. Yeah. As we were in New Mexico, and there's all sorts of what was obviously gigantic boulders that were erupted during the eruption so long ago. That was south of Grants, I think. I think so, yeah. According, again, to the experts. So the experts changed their opinion, and it is one of the world's biggest volcanic systems, obviously. This is huge. Now, they say there's been three caldera-forming eruptions in the past 3 million years. Huckleberry Ridge Tuff eruption, that was 2.1 million years ago, they say. The Mesa Falls eruption, 1.3 million years ago, so that gives you 0.8 million years between those two. And then the Lava Creek eruption, 631,000 years ago. So, you know, let's just say that gives you 0.7 between these two events, 0.8, 0.7, and here we go at 631,000 years ago. So, you know, that means it could be relatively close in the bigger scheme of things. Now, again, the guides have not seen this going in a major way. They did say that there could be smaller eruptions here, but they didn't see like a mega eruption. But then again, there is the technology that could be used. And of course, it's like they're talking about this. You know, this would make everything in North America, well, it would be a darn challenge to stay alive in North America. Absolutely, if we did have a massive series of eruptions going on here. Long Valley Caldera is more likely. And Long Valley Caldera is another big super volcano, and that's in Long Valley, California. Now, that is more likely than Yellowstone. And that could be almost as damaging again as well. And all these things, with the more volcanic activity going off, it's all going to lead to cooling, typically. But again, we really don't see, when we remote viewed farther out, we don't see that the world is like obliterated. It doesn't look like the movie 2012 or The Day After Tomorrow. It is very empty, though. So it's like, you know, it looks more like decaying cities that are turning back into forests because they're rotting. There's absolutely the mega cities, the smart cities, the 15-minute cities, which seem to occupy smaller portions of big existing cities that are out there now, in some cases, and some new ones that will be built as well. And you have a lot of people living very, very simply, almost tribally. again, and they're living outside of the system, and those people are living much longer, healthier lives, and they are in tune with nature.
Mm-hmm. And now is a really good time to start, even if you're not in a position where you can get out into the country. Start learning your local plants. Start learning what is in your area, you know, and gosh, get with neighbors who are possibly like-minded and start making your network, and, you know, hold that vision in your mind's eye, whatever you want it to look like, because thoughts are things. We think things into existence. So, you know, just dream big and keep it there and see what doors open. Never give up.
No, absolutely. And this is from the USGS. Just to bring to you guys where Long Valley Caldera is again. Very, very active area. You know, we have been out in the volcanic fields, and it really feels eerie. Doesn't it feel eerie? So this is the area that we're talking about. You will see swarms in this area. We will see swarms also above this area, as we were talking about this. You know, and this active area around Lassen and around Shasta. Boy, Shasta is beautiful. And if the world was in a normal state, not going into these times, we might have tried to somehow find ourselves a nice little place, as long as there wasn't a Governor Newsom in California and the geopolitical wasn't the way it is up in that area. Because it's one of the most beautiful areas we've been through. Shasta is absolutely magical, and it's a vortex area. There's all sorts of beings there. But absolutely, Long Valley Caldera is another one that can, without a doubt, change the face of our North American continent very quickly. Now, they've been talking about, it seems, Cascadia constantly, and Cascadia is this whole area. I was showing Cindy, and when I was looking at different quake activity, we've done videos on EE Arts, and we were talking about Queen Khalifia, because there was this legendary Queen Khalifia that was queen of the island of California. Queen of the island of California. And then there are those that say the Great Cascadian Quake, which happened, which caused a 9.0 or something thereabouts up in the Pacific Northwest. And following that, a massive tsunami that wiped out all sorts of Indian villages inland along the coast. The natives, they remember this event around 1700. It is, again, perhaps that was triggered by the island of California ramming into the North American continent. And we did get from the guides that is something that there is some truth to. When you look at this, you know, this is the San Andreas Fault coming straight down through. You know, this, it feels, was the barrier of the plate that came in and impacted the continent. And, of course, this is one of the most active areas on the planet. Like, look at what we're looking at right here. This is 93 out of 259 earthquakes on the entire planet. So, you know, this is really typical. Why would we have typically one-third to one-half of the earthquakes on the planet in basically the Pacific coast, especially California? Maybe this is one of the biggest, most recent change areas. And then we have maps. You know, we do know there was a flooding event that filled up the valley here, 1861, 1862. The old town of Sacramento was basically wiped out, and they built a new one on top of it because of the flooding. And right over here, we used to live over here in the desert, and we had sponges and shells and fossilized clams and wow. Coral. Yeah, absolutely. The seawater was here not too long ago. Seawater was here. So, and I know also many people have had visions of tsunamis in California, and I wonder if anybody's picking up on what happened, you know, back in 1700. as well as what potentially can happen in the future, because we know we feel that I feel that Cascadia and the San Andreas, the big ones, are very close, you know, perhaps within let's say maybe just slightly more than a year away at most. But we shall see, because again, timelines can change, and the technologies that are available, they can be used, or maybe they won't be used, but chances are they will probably use them. So I just wanted to share that with you guys. Anything that you want to share on that thoughts that I'm picking up, like when we talked about the island of California ringing in?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's definitely something that feels very, very true. You know, there was so many things out there have gone on for so long that they have not given us the truth about, really.
Yeah, and I'll dig it up and I'll link it for you guys that are interested. I just think it's something that is fascinating, because again, the changes on this planet happen far faster, far quicker than most people realize. And the part that most people don't realize is so much of it's triggered by technology that would blow your mind away. And this guy, he might have just figured out something on his own. Maybe it's just, hey, it's Friday at the zoo.
I don't know. Maybe he's the one triggering all the earthquakes. He's hop, hop, hopping along and just having such a good time. And no, we always should not be completely exhausted. We should be hopping, happy little creatures like this guy in a really healthy world. So let's be like him and just have fun.
Absolutely. And again, thanks for your support on Ko-Fi and Patreon. If you do need to set up an appointment for energy work, it's evolutionaryenergyarts@gmail.com. You can also reach us again through the website, evolutionaryenergyarts.com. Much love, God bless, and namaste.
Namaste.